What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 258th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I'm your host, SBJ, and with me on this Sunday, it's Sunday, we're recording on the right day, and with me on Sunday is Travis.
I have absolutely no recollection of what we talked about last week on this program just 7 days ago. I remember setting up to record. I remember being done recording. But whatever happened in that amount of time in the middle is just a black hole in my memory. So
we were all
must have been a really good one.
We were all very sick last week.
I was okay. You and Will were the... I mean, I was pretty much over it. I had to carry that show. Maybe that's why I don't remember it, is because I was... All the gears were turning, just making sure that I held the two of you up on my shoulders.
Hitting every cylinder. No Will with us today. He's in Virginia or something of the sort. I think he's lying, but that's all right. We have Micah here with us.
Speaking of carrying people, I hope you're both ready to carry me through this.
My back's gonna hurt at the end of this episode.
Steve's used to carrying me through pretty much anything anyway, so
any and all content in the world. I am carrying Micah on my shoulder.
Yeah, that's why you bring him back? Like, what is the...
No Micah Left Behind is the name of our new podcast.
That's right.
I don't even know would be, but I would listen.
It's just me being really bad at things and then asking Steve for help and then Steve carrying me through it.
Yeah. kick off next week. On all serious notes, this is a podcast about Pokemon. Where we rarely talk about Pokemon, that seems to line up with what the show, the pipeline this show has been going down. But for this episode, we have some news articles to go through, and then we have a bunch of emails that we are going to talk about, and that's pretty much it. We're still in this drought of not really enough content, but because of emails, that fills a really good void of both Pokemon and non-Pokemon related questions that you guys send in. So this is just our time. The email time is now. The email time is high. Speaking of high, have any of you gone skydiving this last week?
Pardon?
I was trying to transition here. In all seriousness, what's new? What's new? That was my transition.
Wow, okay. I thought you were going to say, like... I thought we were going to go to the news section and you were going to be like, there's a new skydiving trick involving 50 people and they make the shape of a Pikachu. This is our news article. But no, your way to get to what have you been up to was...
You won't believe what these skydivers are doing with these Pikachus.
I won't even repeat it. People heard it. They can go back. They can use the 15-second backward thing if they want to hear your train wreck of it. Transition again. Wow.
Before I forget, this episode lines up with Mudkip's, so you know, insert Mudkip joke here.
Or don't.
And
don't do it because
just stop.
It's not 2008 anymore or whenever that joke was at its height.
Yeah, that's true. I do like Mudkip though. I'm a fan of
it's fine.
That evolutionary line.
It's pretty neat.
Is anything new happening? Anything noteworthy to bring up, or should we just go into news?
I beat Zelda.
That's noteworthy. How did you like it? Breath of the Wild, I'm assuming. Not like Zelda 1, right?
No, I beat Zelda for NES. Finally.
It took you a while, yeah.
Several years.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild. After well over 100 hours in that game, I feel like I'm safe in saying that it is my favorite Zelda of all time. Bar none.
Would you say
it does so many things right? And
would you say it breathed new life into the franchise?
Yes,
I would. It's really bad.
I would use the word breathed. It was very, very good.
I think I'm like,
and saying that anything
50 hours
else
in
topped it for me would just be me hanging on to nostalgia.
What about Wind Waker? Wind Waker is pretty good.
It was good. But it doesn't do all of the amazing things that Breath of the Wild does.
You're right. Breath of the Wild doesn't have a great boat that talks to you.
I mean, if you can get on a boat and then
paddle it yourself like some chump.
Yeah, you can pretend it's talking to you.
Nah. They should have an amiibo that gives you the boat in Breath of the Wild.
An amiibo.
Oh, man. My. Boat race.
This show is
stop trying to make boat race happen.
Four eyes.
I'll never stop trying to make boat race happen.
Travis, are you still playing Pokemon Duel?
Oh, no. You've asked me that before, and my answer was no, like, 3 weeks ago.
You know, I wasn't
sure if you came back. Pokemon Duel isn't even on my phone anymore. No one's playing Pokemon Duel.
You're right. You were so into Pokemon Duel, and then I think I convinced you to switch to Fire Emblem. And so are you still playing Fire Emblem?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be painted as, like, the number one, that at any point I was, like, the number one Pokemon Duel player on the world or anything. I just thought it was a decent game to
I saw your Pokemon Duel YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Your Pokemon
Duel. Hey, everybody
podcast.
Here. This is Duel Master 6969 coming in here with some hot tips. You're going to want to make sure you have pieces with at least one or two pieces with three movement points. You know, movement point is actually the strongest stat in the game. And if you're looking at a Pokemon with only one movement point, maybe put one of those on your team. But, I know you think, like, Tyranitar, oh, it's so cool, but, like, you really got to make sure you pay attention to movement points. You need at least two with three, and maybe one with one, and the rest are two. But even then, that one with one is really going to be hindering you, because the movement point is the most important thing. I'll just stop. I'm sorry.
That was actually not Travis recording that. That was actually a clip that we just played back from Travis's Pokemon Duel YouTube channel.
I feel like you have the speed down of how fast YouTubers talk.
I think you have the
what's up, guys? That's the important part.
Hey, what's going on,
what's
guys?
Up, guys?
Because apparently, no one other than men watches YouTube, according to anyone who makes YouTube channels. It's always,
yo, what's up,
hey
bros?
Guys?
It's your boy.
Yeah. And with regard to the speed of speaking, I think I've talked on the show about how I, for a while, was an assistant coach of a debate team. The type of debate that I coached encouraged the rules of that type of debate sort of tacitly encouraged speaking as quickly as humanly possible.
Is there a benefit there? Is there a like sick strategy there of like
that? I mean, it is
talk
faster. It's a strategic choice because that type of debate, which is called policy debate, isn't necessarily about who is the most persuasive speaker, but it's more about whose point is proved more by the facts that are presented in the round. So because of that, you have an incentive to just put out as many claims and warrants to those claims as is physically possible with your mouth and your vocal folds, so that when your opponent goes up to speak, they don't have enough time in their 8-minute speech to make a response to all the things you said, so you just end up winning because you said more things. So it ends up being sort of a weird race to the bottom.
That sounds awful.
if you want to have a good time, just go on YouTube and search policy debate spreading. Spreading is the term they use. It's quite a sight, or quite an audible experience.
Well, speaking of spreading, let's spread some Pokemon news out on the table here.
That was a much better segue.
Thanks.
Yeah, that one's fine.
It wasn't great, but definitely a B effort.
You know, they don't call me SB effort J for nothing.
They call you a space cowboy.
Shiny Tapu Koko to be distributed in South Korea. Haven't had some South Korea news in a while, but the Korean League Spring Tournament will get these shiny Tapu Koko. The Korean League tournament is held between 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. on April 8th and 9th at the Topaz Hall on the 10th floor of the Pangoro Hyundai department store. The Tapu Koko will be distributed via infrared for Pokemon Sun and Moon during the tournament. The Tapu Koko will be level 60, have the ability Electric Surge, hold an Electric Seed, I didn't even know those were a thing, and know the moves Nature Madness, Discharge, Agility, and Electro Ball. Its original trainer is something in Korean that I cannot say, but it will be found in a Cherish Ball. While Tapu Koko in the game cannot be shiny, making the Japanese distribution the only way to obtain it at present. Is this true? You cannot get Tapu Koko's Tapu anything shiny? You can't soft reset for these?
I don't believe so.
Huh. I mean, I think that's... I would be a fan of that. It just kind of gets rid of the whole soft reset. Anything that gets rid of soft resetting is...
Doesn't really get rid of it, because then you need to start soft resetting for nature.
And IVs and stuff. Good to know that...
What was the thing you said you hadn't heard of? Maybe I should explain.
Electric Seed?
Electric Seed. Yeah, so that's a...
Is that new of Sun and Moon?
Yeah, it's a new held item. What happens is it's a one-time use item, so after you use it, it's consumed. Although you can... All of those sort of one-time use items, if you use them in a competitive match over like a Wi-Fi battle, then those items come back. But if you use it like... just in single player, it's one-time use. But anyway, Electric Seed is an item that will raise the defense of a Pokemon when electric terrain is activated. So because Tapu Koko causes electric terrain to activate just by its ability, Electric Surge, then it basically guarantees that Electric Seed will pop off, increasing its defense by a stage, so you get a free defense increase just right off the bat. Not a lot of people use it. Use like Tapu Koko with Electric Seed competitively, because there are a lot better items you could use. You know, like Focus Sash gets a lot of use, and I think Life Orb and Focus Sash, I think, are the items that get use. But I mean, Electric Seed is there, and it's an item.
Cool. Good to know. Pokemon Go's latest event is making everyone a Magikarp fan. This article is off Polygon. I had just the standard Pokemon Go press release up, but really what it says is that there are now more water Pokemon for the...
I think it was Thursday, water, Friday?
Yeah, Water Festival is what it's called. It will have more water Pokemon, including Magikarp, Squirtle, Totodile, and other water Pokemon more accessible. That means if you don't live close to water and had difficulties encountering the said Pokemon, spending more in-game time over the next week will increase your chances. This will end on March 29th at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That was what I was looking for, the end date. But yeah. Just like the last couple special events, well, there's the holiday event, which gave you the Pikachu with the Santa Claus hat. And then there was the event to celebrate the 21st birthday of Pokemon, which gave you the Pikachu with the party hat. Looks like this event will give you a shiny Magikarp if you are lucky enough. And of course, evolving that shiny Magikarp will evolve into a shiny Gyarados. This is the first time we've seen a shiny in Pokemon Go, legally / officially. I don't know what other people are doing, but legally, first time we're getting shiny Pokemon. Somebody in Slack, a quick side story. So there are Ditto in the game. And somebody found a shiny Magikarp, and they went to catch it, and it turned into a Ditto.
No way.
Which is a...
I
would probably quit
terrible.
Pokemon Go forever.
Yeah.
There's also, in celebration of Pokemon Go Water Festival, there is a all-new Magikarp hat that is free that you can add to your wardrobe. I don't know if the hat goes...
Yeah,
it's great. I don't know if the hat goes away March 29th. And we don't know if the shiny Magikarp also goes away on March 29th. I'm assuming it does, just because Pikachu Party Hat and Pikachu Santa Hat went away. So we'll see. And I keep forgetting to talk about this week after week, but I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go ever since the Johto Pokemon got introduced. I don't know if you two have been playing it, but...
I have been, actually.
Strangely, I actually haven't, mostly just because it's been really rainy around here. It's gotten warmer, but it's just been so rainy that I don't really have any.
Yeah, it's the same in Wisconsin, right? It's really cold, so it's kind of hard to walk around. But they added a bunch of new Pokestops in the park near my work. Micah knows what park I'm talking about, but that park originally only had like 3 Pokestops like a year ago. And they added, by the way, I don't work in Milwaukee. I work in the middle of nowhere. There's still all that news about Milwaukee freaking out about Pokemon Go and stuff, and we'll probably have... I'm waiting for more information, but there would have been a news article about that. But anyways, they pretty much doubled the amount of Pokestops. So from at least my desk, I can see which Pokemon are over in the park. So on my lunch, I'll drive through the park because when the parking lot in the park touches like four Pokestops. So I'll drive into the park, park, spin, catch, and then go actually get my lunch and then return to work. So that's like, I don't know, it's like 10 minutes out of my day, but I get at least one or two new Pokemon that I haven't had before.
And you gotta hit that streak.
And yeah, you gotta hit that streak.
You gotta hit that 7-day streak.
I have so much trouble hitting that 7-day streak because of weekends. Because I'll usually go out on like a Saturday or a Sunday, but I try not to go out one of those 2 days. Like just the whole like, well, if I don't drive anywhere, I can't spend any money, right? So I try to do that once a week of like, I'm not going anywhere today. Just gonna stay at home. And there's no Pokestops near me unless I walk there, and then that goes back to the whole thing of like, it's really cold in Wisconsin right now.
Well, the only solution is to move to a building that is either on top of or right next to a Pokestop.
Yeah, yeah. When I plan on buying a house, the Pokestops near it will play a big role. But
that's the bettering the housing market.
Right, yes. So, Mikey, you're playing Pokemon Go again?
I am, yeah. I've been playing it since Johto 2, and I played it at... I hit like a really big spike right when Johto launched, and I've tapered off a little bit now, but I'm still playing it pretty consistently. And I have never really noticed before, just because of my, I guess, activity level in the game, the increased spawns when they've done increased spawns before, but I'm definitely noticing the increased water spawns. Like, it's significant. I'm happy that it's significant because I've always felt like, oh, it's increased spawns, and I can see that, like, oh, maybe I'm seeing some of that. Like, when they did the increased spawns for the starters, like, I didn't really see that many. I think other people probably did, but I didn't. So this time it's nice to be able to actually see increased spawns for water stuff. I have yet to find a shiny Magikarp, but I have found it.
Yeah, I haven't found a shiny Magikarp either. Now, like, I'm kind of stressing out because the end date is coming up, and I have both the special Pikachus, so like I will be really bummed, I think, if I don't get a shiny Magikarp.
I'm in
Magikarp.
The same position.
Like, I see plenty of regular Magikarp, just not shiny.
Yeah.
All right, last bit of news I have is, I think we might have touched on this last week, but a little bit more fleshed out of an article here. Pikachu getting some iconic headwear in Sun and Moon later this year. Japanese Pokemon fans have an adorable promotion to look forward to starting in April. Pikachu with special accessories will be distributed to the series' latest Nintendo 3DS games, Pokemon Sun and Moon, a collection of Pikachu wearing hats made famous by Ash Ketchum. The star of the Pokemon anime will be available to anyone who buys tickets to the upcoming film ahead of its premiere. We did talk about this a little bit. The latest issue of the Japanese gaming magazine Korokoro revealed a whole new set of 6 scans which were found because of Serebii. There's Pikachu in the classic Ash cap of old, and all the way to the Electric Mouse wearing Ash's Alola region variant hat. Pokemon fans may notice that there are only 6 different hats, despite there being 7 generations of Pokemon games. Ash wore his original cap for the first 2 generations of the Pokemon cartoon, maintaining the same looks until the end of his travels in Johto. Since then, the 11-year-old, isn't he?
He's 11 in Alola.
Oh, okay. The 11-year-old has shaken up his look every season. No word on a Western release for the Ash hat-wearing Pikachu, nor the film it's released tied to. The movie titled I Choose You is the 20th installment in the Pokemon featured film franchise. It is a retelling of the TV show's very first episode. It hits Japanese theaters on July 15th.
Is it a new animation? Or is it...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a new...
Like the animation they used for the Sun and Moon anime, or not like,
well, maybe.
Are you talking about movie animation?
The upcoming.
You didn't see the trailer?
No, I didn't.
It's a good trailer.
It looks.
I remember we talked about this last time.
It doesn't.
And I said that I never watched. I didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah, it doesn't look.
Apparently,
like,
I still didn't.
It doesn't look like the Sun and Moon anime. It just looks like the last movie animation.
That's kind of, I mean, you know, whatever. It's a little disappointing because I really like the animation in Sun and Moon, but
I think the Sun and Moon cartoon anime, I think I think it's all right. I don't know if there's more than two episodes yet. I have it recorded on my PlayStation View, but I don't think they've showed episode three yet.
What's a PlayStation View? That's a new one I haven't
PlayStation
heard.
PlayStation View is internet TV. So for $29 a month, it gets you like 30,
whoa!
35 channels.
35 channels, more than that.
Maybe.
Dropping $30 a month.
It's basically like cable, but you're paying less for cable, and you get pretty much everything you need for cable.
Yeah, it gives me...
You get all of the channels that like cable would get you?
Yeah, like HGTV and Cartoon Network and whatever.
Yeah, so you can watch it on your TV or your PlayStation. I think Apple TV also has an app, or Chromecast, but...
You get the Food Network?
You get Food Network, yeah.
Mm.
You get a bunch of channels.
Might be worth it.
For 30
it's
bucks.
It's pretty worth it.
What's really cool, so first off, it gives you USA Today. It gives you USA, which is how I watch my wrestling.
Not USA Today.
Not USA Today. It gives you Disney XD, which lets you do all your Pokemon now.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you Cartoon Network, which used to do Pokemon, and I don't think they're not allowed to show reruns. Gives you TBS if you need your Seinfeld kick. But what's really cool is it has like this DVR feature where you can say like, "Hey, record every episode of Pokemon," and it doesn't care what channel it's on. It'll just find that show and record it. And it doesn't take up any storage on your device because everything
is
streaming.
This is starting to sound like that parable about the terrifying AI that goes and ends up destroying the whole world. Because like you tell the AI, like, make and store food for me. And then the AI is like, okay. And then it ends up thinking, well, I can turn people into food, and then destroys like everybody. It sounds like if you're saying like record all episodes of Pokemon, then it'll start like being like, well, this could theoretically be Pokemon, so I should surveil all of everything. This joke isn't really as funny as I thought it was in my head.
Well, that's the thing though, right? Because
it's topical.
Pokemon was on Cartoon Network, so when I said, "Hey, record all Pokemon," when it made the jump to Disney,
oh, that's cool.
I didn't have to like retell it. And then like Seinfeld is more just. Also, it's like not all exclusively to TBS. So if there are other versions of it, it will find those and record them. And so then when you go to your like my shows, if it found two of the same episode, like, hey, we found Monday Night Raw on USA and on Sci-Fi or whatever. I don't think it's on Sci-Fi. It'll say like, which version do you want to watch?
Now I know.
Yeah.
About PlayStation
It'll
View.
Also actively. So like you can set things to record, to actually record. Or you can just select something as my show, and then it will compile it and save it to, like, I don't know. It's just like an available for on demand for anybody that saved it as their show. So then there's two versions of that too. Like, you can pick either the on demand version or the version that you DVR'd.
There's a whole new world of possibilities.
Yeah, I don't know if any of this is new for like as far as DVR goes, but it's new to me because I've never had DVR before.
Yeah. I mean, I don't use, like, I'll use the DVR feature to watch, like, reruns of shows or something, but for the most part, like, my PlayStation View comes down to me using it every Monday night for wrestling, and then...
Right.
So what about those Pokemon hats? Sorry, I didn't mean to bring things down to the PlayStation... I feel guilty for bringing things down to the PlayStation View tangent, just because I thought PlayStation View was a funny buzzword-sounding branding term, and now we spent, like, actually 20 minutes talking about the PlayStation View, and I feel bad, so...
By 20
it's actually
minutes,
a digital
lights.
Window that you
Five?
Look through, and it shows you cool landscapes.
They ship you a window to your house.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in one pane, it says play, and then in the other... plane it says station, and then when you're sitting in front of it, that is the view of the PlayStation
it.
View. It's a two pane window.
It's when you want that product placement all over your house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that wraps it up for news, I guess.
We did it.
So what we'll do is we will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will tackle your emails.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Travis Podcast. It's Super Travis.
What?
No. No.
Whoa, look at that.
Wow. Is a wet burrito just a birthplace? size of the wet burrito?
No.
Is a wet burrito just a birthplace of the wet burrito?
And we are back from our break. Got some emails for you. If you have any emails for us, Pokemon or non-Pokemon related, you can send your email over to sbj@pkmncast.com. Or you can go to pokemonpodcast.com, hit that contact button, and that will get the email over there just as well. So feel free to send in some emails. We got a couple. We have two for Will. Will's not here, so I'm going to skip those.
Or I can answer them for him. I feel like I know Will enough.
One's about how why Will hates Zelda, because there's rolling in Zelda and everything.
Oh, definitely can't answer that. Oh, I can't answer that,
Will
actually. He's wrong for hating Zelda. That's the actual answer that you
know. Will hates everything.
Wait, that's the end of that question. On to the next one.
Wait, I thought I was the one that hated Zelda.
No, you're both wrong then. I think that's the easy solution.
I think you were both on similar pages. Chris writes in.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we weren't forming some sort of singularity where we end up with some like Will and Travis oversoul that just has all of the attributes of both of us and then both of us become obsolete, you know? Like, I want to make sure
I am the one that hates
Zelda. That's the one thing I have.
I don't know. That sounds like a pretty good plot for the podcast.
if Travis and Will becomes too similar, then I just have to cut one, right?
But how will you know which one is which?
So I'm going to ship you a window, and in one pane it's going to say play.
Ask me something only the real PlayStation view will know.
This email is from Chris from Indianapolis. Hey, SBJ, Will, and Travis.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
It's been a while since I've seen or talked to you guys. I just wanted to respond to Travis about Pokemon Go and Niantic's methods for catching legendaries. There is a gym rework going on right now, according to multiple reports and comments from developers, that could be released sometime between April through June. They are working on making the experience more teamwork-focused and rewarding when people get involved. So this leads me to believe that the possibility of catching a Mewtwo like the trailer depicts may not be as far off as we think. Of course, we'll see what they end up doing in the long term and hope for the best. Keep up the good work. And Travis, if you want mall Chinese again, I still live here and will plan on going to Nationals if you guys make it to Indy.
Oh, I didn't realize we were talking that it was this Chris. Cool, awesome.
Sincerely, the original Chris. Yes, the one you're thinking of from Indy. Probably
good to hear from you, Chris.
Probably the only Chris in all of Indy, I'm assuming.
The only one that I know and care about.
So yeah, there.
I have also heard this. I've seen many things about this gym rework.
I did, speaking of Pokemon Go, I did my first gym battle since the first week it came out. I was at a gym, parked in my car, and it was a Mystic gym, and I am Mystic, so I think it does something where it like powers up the gym. I wasn't completely sure. I got a bunch of experience when I was done, but...
Yeah, man, you're buffing the gym.
Oh, okay. But it didn't give me an option to leave my Pokemon, even though I did the work.
It may not. So you can leave Pokemon there at certain levels. There's certain amounts that you can leave per level of the gym. So it could be that you just didn't level it up so that there was more room for you to leave a Pokemon.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah,
there's
a certain number at which another tier of another Pokemon slot would have been unlocked, at which point you could have put a Pokemon there. Or it could have already been level 10, at which point...
No,
he's already powered up.
It was level 4 or 5. I don't have like my highest CP is like 1390 or something. So I don't have stellar perfect IV Pokemon.
What a casual.
So what you do then is you put something easy in there to make it easy for other. What trash team are you on?
Mystic.
Oh, gross. So you put something easy in there so that other Mystics have an easier time training the gym. So you just drop like a Caterpie or something in there.
Well, I would assume if somebody rolled up with like CP 1600, they would have no problem.
Oh, they would blast it out of there for sure.
Yeah, because I think the max that at level 4 that I was seeing was like 1500. So I was 100 to 200 below that CP, but I was still able to get through it.
Right.
It's
yeah,
not,
typical
not,
typical
it's
strategy.
Not fun though, like battling.
You get in there
in Pokemon Go is not enjoyable.
No, it's really not. You just tap a screen a bunch of times and then occasionally hold it. But get in there and put some Caterpies on the gyms. Help out your teammates
and then work it. But
if you
can't put the Caterpies
and
leave.
To put
you
got to
put the Caterpies and work it.
Well, yeah, of course.
Otherwise, somebody's going
to
roll
up. And then
up.
You leave it for other people to come in and work it.
I see.
Can we use different language other than work it?
You got to work it.
You got to work it.
Get real sweaty in that gym.
I don't know.
Clanging and banging.
I don't know, guys.
Clanging and banging in the Pokemon gym.
Yeah, you got
to. Oh, boy.
Bringing this back. Bill writes in from Sarah,
I like your PC.
Sarah Sorda. Sarasota, Florida. That's probably a place. Hey, super effective crew. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I can confirm you are the best Pokemon podcast out there. You are my favorite because all three of you work so well together and keep the podcast informative and entertaining. I really enjoyed your series through the Sun and Moony storyline. The old Sun and Moony storyline, and I'm anticipating your post-game discussion. We should probably get to that. Speaking of which,
nah.
There is a post-game reveal that is really amazing and not readily apparent. Here are some spoil-free instructions on how to experience this reveal, which takes less than 10 minutes. All right, I'm going to read these instructions. I cannot confirm or deny if they are spoiler-free. Bill says they're
exciting.
Bill says they're spoiler-free. So take Bill at their word. Step one. First, go into the Dimensional Research Lab in Hiena City on Akala Island. Hiha City, however you want to say that. Talk to all the scientists there and pay attention to what they say. One of the scientists says something important. Second, go to Aether Paradise and talk to Gladion on the conservation level. Pay attention to what he is saying and you will discover the first revelation. If you talk to him before and did not pay attention, he will not repeat it again. Finally, go to Pokepelago and talk to the only person there. Look at its name and it will tie everything together. Forgive me if you've already experienced this. I haven't heard many discussion about the reveal and I wanted to hear what you three think. That discussion may have to be saved for post-game discussion podcast. Thanks for all you do. I plan on signing up for your Patreon soon. Sincerely, Bill. I think I know what he's talking about, but I don't know. I don't want to spoil it.
To you.
Well, I mean, we don't. The game's been out long enough. We can just say.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like spoilers are kind of off the table at this point.
Well,
like,
let's wait till next
it's
week.
Been,
that gives.
When
that
did
gives,
the game come out? October.
Yeah, but that lets people at least do these steps.
You're right.
All right.
Good point.
We'll forget about it.
Forget about it and not talk about it next week.
Yeah.
I think I know what Bill's talking about. I'll actually do it, especially if it takes less than 10 minutes, because I want to experience that. Especially if Gladion only says what he says once. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that next week. But thank you, Bill. Alex writes in from Auckland, New Zealand. Auckland.
Yeah, that's it.
That's probably it. Hi, Steve. I would like to say I'm a huge fan of yours, even though I only started listening during your Pokemon Sun and Moony gameplay, and I seem to like it. I would like to know that Steve is my favorite and Micah is a close second.
Oh, wow.
My favorite Pokemon is Houndoom, and it was my first shiny. I would like to know what your first shiny is, from Alex in New Zealand.
Take that, nerds. Close second.
Take that. You're a close second.
Well, thanks.
My first shiny is nothing because I have yet to find a shiny in the wild.
I'll tell you what my first shiny in Sun and Moon was. Was that the question, or was it just first shiny ever?
First shiny ever, but
I believe in general.
Yeah, you could do both. I think I remember your first shiny in Sun and Moon.
My first shiny in Sun and Moon was a pink Hypno, and I was very upset.
Hypno's cool.
I was really excited to have my first shiny be something that I like actively searched out, and I just stumbled on it, and it kind of was it like ruined the moment. It ruined the like I'm gonna hunt for a shiny Mimikyu or something cool that I'm gonna keep and whatever. And my first shiny was a Hypno. I was very disappointed. This happened though. This happened the same night that Becky was playing. My wife, for anybody that doesn't know, was playing next to me, and before I got my shiny Hypno, she says, "Why is this Zubat green, and should I catch it?"
It's amazing. Well, like, shiny Zubat's not like a tier above shiny Hypno. I hate to break it to her.
I mean, they're kind of both on the same plane of interest as far as I'm concerned.
I attempted to shiny hunt for an Execute, and I did it for about 5 hours, the whole SOS battle. And then I decided it wasn't worth my time anymore, and I quit.
Wow, I've never had one go that long.
It was terrible.
I mean, how were you? Did you get the shiny charm? Did you have like...
No, I didn't get no shiny charm.
Oh,
it was
man.
The
well,
first...
that's why it took you 5 hours.
5 hours for nothing. I went... It was the first time you can like encounter Execute on that island.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, I've already killed like 10 of them. I guess I'll just keep going. It was not enjoyable.
Yeah, you gotta prepare. You can't just do it on a whim. It's never taken me that long.
I mean, I had the ethers, and I had the lima beans, or whatever they're called. The lima beans.
What? The orbs?
The lepa berries.
Yeah,
oh, the lepa berries.
I had plenty of lepa berries.
Lima beans.
I had the ethers. I had the whole... One hit KO because I was using my two cannon.
Did you have the orbs?
Whatever I had the orbs. Yep. I had the orbs.
Yeah, I mean it definitely gets easier with a shiny charm.
But that requires me to complete my Pokedex, and that's not easy.
Come on, it's been out for what, 6 months now? Get
sure.
it together. Does shiny Execute look cool?
Lowland Executor, I should say, has like red leaves instead of green leaves.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to go for. Travis, what about you? Shiny?
I think my first shiny would have been, what was it, Gible that they gave out at one of the VGCs? A shiny Gible, something like that?
Doesn't count.
Well, I don't know why that's with me.
Receiving
I mean, to answer the question literally, that is the first shiny I obtained. The first one that I encountered in the wild, however, was a shiny Love Disc that I got from... chain fishing in generation 6, and then I've gotten a lot more in gen 7 from doing SOS chaining and stuff like that. I think my favorite is my shiny cutie fly.
That's a pretty good shiny.
This email is from Jose from San Luis, Mexico. Hey guys, Jose aka Conical from Mexico here with a long email for you. I've been listening to the show for about a year and I like it a lot. I usually listen at my desk, in my job, and all my coworkers look weird at me whenever I start laughing on my own, but I can't help it. All three of you, plus Micah and Irene, are great hosts. It's always fun to listen to SBJ's clumsiness. Dang it.
No way. What timing?
I'm really sorry, future Steve, that has to edit the huge spike that was that piece of laughter.
It was worth it.
Will's knowledge and Travis's sarcasm and humor. Keep up the good work. Oh, my eyes are watering. I decided to write in after listening to the whole wet burrito debate, as I have a comment on what I believed is based on. Here in Mexico, we're getting the, like... raw, cold, hard facts here. Mexico's finest is written in.
Hopefully it's not cold and hard burritos. That sounds gross.
Here in Mexico, the state of Jalisco, to be precise, we have a typical dish called the tortara agrajada, which is the literal translation of drowned torta. That consists in a torta.
Man, I wish I could see that how
it's tortilla?
How it's spelled.
It's not
going to actually say
T-O-R-T-O-R-T-A.
Mm-hmm. Torta.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what you said.
What is a torta? Is it just like a soft shell taco?
I'm probably way wrong in this, but I thought tortas were like sandwiches.
Oh, actually, like it says here in the next sentence. That consists in a torta, a kind of sandwich made with a different bread called a bolio or burrito or brat.
Man, I wish I knew how any of this was spelled. I could be able to tell you how to pronounce it, but...
Hey, I pronounced torta right. You guys were harassing me about it. I said it right. Filled with pork.
I didn't say anything about your torta pronunciation.
And covered in tomato sauce with some red onion on it. And you get to choose how spicy you usually want it. Usually it is eaten when you are hungover and it's very tasty. That's pretty much it. So now I have questions for you two that are completely non-Pokemon, that are not completely Pokemon related. Number one, do you miss game manuals being physical included with every game? I loved reading those, and the Pokemon ones were particularly awesome as long as they were long and had so many illustrations and notes. Number two, who is your favorite superhero? That's it for my email. I hope it gets read on the show. Keep being the best Pokemon podcast out there, and we will keep making sure of keeping them dogs clean this 2017.
Glad to hear it.
Let's do the superhero question one first, because I can tell you right now, I don't have a favorite superhero. I'm not big on superheroes or comics or anything like that.
I guess I'll go. My answer used to be Green Lantern, because I liked the idea of a superhero that wasn't just... I mean, you get this in tons of different superheroes, whether you're talking DC or Marvel, where multiple people have inhabited the same role, the same name. But Green Lantern was always interesting to me, that the Green Lantern for this sector in space was just like one person out of tons that were assigned to all of the sectors of space. I thought that was interesting, that like in the cosmic scope of things, this person who seems like immensely powerful from our tiny Earth perspective is just one of a ton that are in the Green Lantern Corps. I found that idea interesting. And then I actually like read Green Lantern comics, and they're boring and really, and spend way too much time talking about how different emotions are like different colors, and
I'm in a lot of
what the different boat. What the different like colored rings do, and that ended up boring me. I don't know if I could pick one of them, but in terms of like comic series, I'm kind of interested in the X-Men right now. Maybe it's just because I really enjoyed Logan, so I'm going back and looking at some old X-Men stories. But there have been some interesting X-Men stories, and I think a lot of the characters have interesting analogs to real life and like real life experiences. So that's cool.
Real quick before I answer, can I get a hot take on Logan? Did you like it?
Oh yeah, I thought it was really good. I think it's laudable for being a movie that for being a comic book movie that dares to actually say a thing in a world where everyone is falling head over heels over Deadpool, which is a movie that's purely pessimism and deconstruction for the sake of nothingness, that even the same studio decided, well, we can actually maybe say something this time, and they did, and it's good.
I'm excited to see it. I that's because I'm also kind of going back, and before I see it, I guess I want to see some of the source material, and I'm going through some House of M stuff that apparently is partially tied to it, and then going through some of the Logan
kind
stuff.
I don't necessarily think you really need to read the source material. It's mostly like the old man Logan stuff that it's based on, I guess, but I mean, it's less of a X-Men movie and more of just a road picture that happens to have Wolverine and a lot of people's faces being brutally ripped apart by metal claws.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't really have a favorite superhero either, but I have a lot of favorite like story arcs throughout the history of Marvel Comics. Not so much DC. I'm not that big of a... I've never really been big into DC comics, but I don't know. Like, the original Civil War arc was really interesting to me, and the split sides and the like unmasking superheroes and big reveals and stuff like that was really cool to me. Other than that, I don't think anybody has ever really like stuck out to me. When I was young, I really liked Gambit because he was a babe. other than that, I don't think of.
Did you watch the X-Men cartoon?
I did, yes.
Such a good opening song.
He was a babe in that, too. Excuse me. Steve is dreading editing this right now.
Yeah. Do you miss?
I was far away from my microphone. It's fine.
Do you miss game manuals being physically included with every game? Was the other question from Jose?
Did any of the? When did they stop including game manuals in Pokemon games?
I don't know. I bought the last two digitally.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did too. I like bought physical ones, but I didn't open them. They're kind of like just for collection's sake, but. I guess I never noticed that they weren't including manuals
still
anymore.
Had a manual? No?
I won't be able to confirm this because I never have really cared that much about manuals. I started playing video games before I could read, so the manual was never really that important of... I couldn't read the manual, so it was never that an important part
I
of
I started
the
to care about manuals for collections purposes, like... collecting complete versions of games and things like that, but I guess I stopped doing that. I guess I didn't realize that they stopped including manuals with a lot of Nintendo stuff specifically, because I feel like that was still when other companies had dropped off of carrying putting manuals in game cases. Nintendo was still doing that.
I remember the Red and Blue manuals and like going through those as a kid several times, and how it looked like a little like field guide kind of book. That manual just stood out to me and still does stand out to me. But for the most part, I don't know. Manuals probably for me do the same effect of art books. And like I have Destiny art books and Final Fantasy 14 art books and, you know, other art books just sitting on a shelf. And I think I've maybe paged through them once. And it was like a quick page through of like, oh, yeah, this is good paper quality. This art's cool. And then it just... collects dust on my shelf, and I think for me manuals would do the same, except instead of collecting dust on my shelf it would just remain in the game case.
As far as having actual manuals, I think it's more just like it's nice to have it than it is
something
tangible, right? More than it has any actual practical use. Like I'm not like lost without a manual, you know?
Yeah,
I think it was much more needed in times where games weren't super clear on how to play certain parts of it. Like, they didn't have walking, hand-holding tutorials at the beginning of the game and stuff like that.
Next email here is actually some physical mail. I'm gonna unfold this here. Some snail mail, as they would say. Hello, Steve, Travis, and Will, as well as anyone from the B team who might be present.
Oh, it's your lucky day.
Recently, Micah suggested that listeners should send snail mail SBJ's way. So I am looking forward to physically passing this envelope to one of you at PAX East. Travis was
incredible.
Nice enough to deliver this to me. As it's customary to announce one's favorite host prior to asking a question, I would like to thank my favorite member of the ISC crew, Travis, for always bringing such a thoughtful, measured perspective to the proceedings. At least until Will leads them into an argument, which usually ends up being my favorite part of of any given show. A fresh batch of Pokemon merchandise debuted at Toy Fair last month, including new and improved Pokemon construction toys from Mega Bloks and the Polly Pocket-inspired line of miniature Pokemon games for girls, extreme quotes. Likewise, the Pokemon Center online shop now offers a premium shadow box containing a set of classic Pokemon badges that would make any trainer on Victory Road blush, as well as those handsome new figures that the site rolled out on Pokemon Day. At the height of the Pokemon Go craze, I even saw my local shopping mall stocking Pikachu-colored Mophi iPhone charging cases, as well as plenty of throwback Generation 1 merchandise, including adult-sized backpacks, cookie-cutter molds, and scarves. As Pokemon continues to diversify its already impressive selection of consumer products, are there any items you would like to see get the Pokemon brand treatment either items which don't yet exist or all products or products which are already offered in limited supply would you like to see expanded? Thank you for all the hard work you put on each week and always an entertaining show. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a very dirty dog to keep clean in 2017. AC. Thank you for the snail mail. AC was one of the fans we met at PAX. And
yeah, it was great meeting you, AC.
Yeah. Very nice guy.
And you kids out there, keep sending in that snail mail.
I love the snail mail. Felt good to read some snail mail. So the question was merchandise you'd want to see or expanded upon or anything like that.
Well, real quick, I'd like to see more Mimikyu plushes because I recently went to find them outside of PokemonCenter.com because they haven't restocked. And they're on eBay for like $80.
So you're saying I should sell my plush?
Yes.
Or I'll sell it to you for $70. How's that?
Well, I'm out.
Not
interested.
$10 less than eBay. It's the deal of the century right there.
That, I mean, you're not wrong, but don't do this to me. I'm real desperate for a Mimikyu plush, and I can't be spending $70 on a plush.
I'm trying to think of what I would want to see. There's a lot of Pokemon stuff I have in my house. I have Pokemon blankets, Pokemon pillows, plushes.
I would really, really like to see a resurgence in the Pikachu pal. I don't remember what they were called. The Pikachu Tamagotchis.
Pocket Pikachu?
Yes. I'd like to see a resurgence in those. Pocket Pikachus, Tamagotchis, Gigapets, whatever. I want to see that come back around.
I can subscribe to this. You know what I want to see, actually? I want decent Pokemon hoodies. Not the ones they sell on Pokemon Center that are $60 to $70 because that is a ridiculous price for a hoodie.
You could get a plush for that.
You can mimic you plush for that. I'm selling one right now. $70. But they're also what is called like the quote unquote classic fit. And I'm done buying classic fit stuff. I need that slim fit stuff in my life. Whether that's a t-shirt or a hoodie, I just want things that fit a little tighter to my body. And classic fit doesn't fit the bill. So I want more of that. I want like a good hoodie that I can drown myself in.
Tailored hoodies.
Yeah.
The fancy list.
I'm also gonna say clothing because I'm not much of a stuff person. I don't do a lot. Like if I get a plush, it just kinda sits there. I don't do a lot with things, but clothes or something that I would have to have anyway. So, I mean, I had the Pocket Pikachu too, if that is what it was called. I think that's what it was called, and it was an incredible device that I spent a lot of time on playing. I spent a lot of time playing the Double or Nothing game that was in there, where you would bet Watts I guess it was sort of Double or Nothing, but you would bet Watts Double or Nothing whether or not the next card Pikachu would draw from a deck of playing cards would be higher or lower than the previous one.
You remember.
A lot of time on that as if that were actually a fun game.
Yeah, it's not fun, but I remember it. You gotta bet those Watts.
You remember way more mm-hmm. about this than I do.
Well, there was
I spent a lot of time with it.
There's Pocket Pikachu.
And retelling it is making me even more excited for new ones.
Well, there was Pocket Pikachu, which was the yellow one. And then there was Pocket...
Which I did not have. I only had Pocket Pikachu 2.
Yeah, there was Pocket Pikachu 2, which worked with the infrared scanner on the Game Boy Color.
And it had the GS logo.
Yes, for
the
gold
GS
and silver
logo.
Yeah.
I would also go with more clothing because I wouldn't do anything with a Vanillux plushie, but I'd wear a Vanillux skirt or something. You know, because I'm going to have to wear clothes anyway. I'm not going to have a plushie with me anyway. I'm bad at buying things for myself that I don't need.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. And so I can, even though I don't need more clothes, I can at least justify the purchase of clothing to myself.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just carry a plush with you everywhere.
Just put it in your bag. Just pull it out when needed.
It would be a good look.
A lot of the stuff on PokemonCenter.com, like, it's fine, and I would probably buy it if it was more tailored to Pokemon I like. Whereas, like, there's no, like, low tad pin, right? But I would probably buy a low tad pin. And for...
Yeah, I could maybe see pins. My issue with clothing is that, like, I just don't... And Steve knows this better than Travis does, but I don't wear things with, like, graphic stuff on them, really.
You just don't wear clothes, really.
I just never wear clothes. I mean, I work from home, so that's actually pretty true. But when I am wearing clothes, usually it's... I mean, I don't wear things that are, like, really branded. Like, graphic tees really don't do it for me that much. So, yeah. Like, having new graphic tees never really excites me. It's got to really be something that is, like, unique or piques my interest, but I don't think I've ever looked at PokemonCenter.com at anything clothing and been like, yeah, I could wear that.
Well, they are.
Yeah, I guess I should say it has to be, like, cool and good.
That's the thing about me and, like, graphic tees is because I always have a hoodie on, so zero people ever see what is under that hoodie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, I love that Pokemon Center is, like, still putting out stuff, but there's a certain point where you're just like, I have no room for these plushies.
I only have one plush. I feel terrible for not having more plushes. Or maybe that's good. I don't know.
Yeah, I think in reality it's good. But if you want a Mimikyu plush, I got one. Steven writes in from...
$70.
From Alaska. My favorite host is Travis. They are awesome. They are an awesome meme lord. Also, if you guys could fuse two Pokemon together, who would they be as the host? Who would they be? Hope to hear this on the show. Have a fantastic day, Steven.
If I could fuse two Pokemon, it would be Travis and Will to create a singularity.
Two Pokemon.
See, it's funny because that's the thing we said before. I would say probably, this has kind of already been done by a lot of people, right? Because there was that meme that I think is really cool. Speaking of meme lord, my meme lord status, there was that thing going around that was really cool where artists would draw alternate versions of a Pokemon species based on the other Pokemon in its egg group. So they would look through like what Pokemon that Pokemon could theoretically breed with and then draw depictions of what it would actually look like to have a cross breed between those two Pokemon. Artists have made really cool stuff with that. I'm upset that I can't think of any of the artists who did that.
Are you talking about that site where it would like...
No, I'm not talking about the... I'm not talking about the joke site garbage. I mean, that thing was very funny. Because
I saw
perfect,
people take screenshots take of those that and then create like really good art based off of those.
People definitely did that, and that was really cool and really funny. But no, I'm talking about it was older than that. There was a thing where, so like for instance, let me just pick up a random Pokemon so I can give
Vulpix.
You a good example. Yeah, sure. Let me pull up Vulpix and see what breeding group it's in. So Vulpix is in the field egg group. So, for instance, it could breed with Meowth, Primeape, Growlithe, other Pokemon in that group. So then the artist would make sketches of the what they would envision a crossbreed between those species would look like if it were like real life where a donkey plus horse makes a mule. Instead of in Pokemon, where it just looks identical to whatever the mother is.
And Mudbray.
Did some pretty cool things with that. Good job.
I did it.
I guess I would probably want to combine like Sableye with something. I think Sableye is really cool. So, maybe like, you know what? Sableye Vanillux. It's in my mind. So let's just do it.
I feel like you could get away with combining a lot of Pokemon with Rapidash. Just because you would have that flame mane going on.
Just because Rapidash is like really boring and it acts for a really good blank slate upon which you can just slap anything else on.
Got him.
So I would say like Rapidash and like Golem, because then you would have like a ball of fire, like a meteor, an asteroid.
That is cool. I'll give you that much.
I don't know.
Name your two favorite Pokemon.
I mean, currently... Mimikyu and Gengar, so I don't really know what I mean.
So you would
just
have like a Mimikyu.
I feel like that would be
a
really
Gengar
boring
outfit.
Combination. Even more ghostly.
Poison
even
ghost fairy. Tommy writes in from Columbus. Dear ISE crew and fanbase, I am not a plant. I just like Travis's and DJ's podcast. Love Tommy.
Wow.
I think that might have been like 2 weeks old, but
yeah, I mean a few weeks ago the person wrote in with an email just saying how good my other podcast, Arbitrary Archive, is, and I don't necessarily agree. I don't think it's that great. And then
come on,
Tommy was accused of being a plant or some sort of shill for the Arbitrary Archive. What did we talk about last week on that show? It was, yeah, I don't remember. It was good. I don't remember what we did. It was a full week ago.
We'll do like two more emails here. Tyler writes in, hi guys, my name is Pigman Q. Must be like a Twitter/username. And I've been listening to you guys for the past year and loving it. I was wondering what your guys' favorite episode you've ever done is. Also, my favorite person is SBJ and Will, as we are the same person. But when will there be a new Mythical? So we got like two questions here. First one is favorite episode you've done. Is there a show that stands out to you too?
I mean, does this include Mythical? Because there's a lot of Mythical stuff that we've done that I really liked.
Yeah, I suppose that could extend to Mythical.
Then something Mythical. I don't think I can say it. Talk about it. So <That's> something.
I love how whenever Mythical comes up from an email writer, then everyone but SBJ just gets a little passive aggressive about the things that we're upset that we're not allowed to talk about yet with Mythical. And we're like, well, my favorite thing is a thing that Steve won't let me talk about.
I mean, you could say that's your favorite, Micah, but have you
really
heard it recently?
It could be terrible, I guess.
As somebody who edits podcasts, I don't know if Travis can relate to that or anyone else, but there's that feeling of like when you're going through a podcast, you're like, yeah, this sounds like it's going to be really good. And then when you get, like, you let it sit for an hour and then you go to edit it and you're going through and you're like, I guess this wasn't as funny as I thought it was like an hour ago.
I know what specific thing you're talking about, and I hope you're cutting out like 90% of the first like hour of that because it's just rolling dice.
But in general though, like that feeling does exist.
I do know, yeah.
Like
I do know
like
what
even when
about.
I finish interviews, yeah, I think that during the interview you could be like, yeah, this is going great, and then you listen to it afterwards and you're like, why did I ask such a dumb question?
I think a lot of it has to do with that experience. For me, is at least like I think I'm saying something really cool or funny and in the moment, and then I realize later as I'm editing whatever I'm doing that the joke was like way too in my head, or I didn't explain a thing right, or I misspoke. And
that's just generally
it's always usually my fault,
and the realization is like immediately after I say it, just like in my normal life. I guess I don't know. I mean, I guess I really liked, mostly because of the actual experience that was tied with it, but the Mythical Gen Con special was really fun.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was good.
Recording it and being in the room and, you know, all the excitement surrounding Gen Con.
That was good.
Probably my favorite thing that I've been on.
I have a couple episodes I like a lot. I really liked the episode with Xavier Woods. That was also the week that like Pokemon Go launched, so I just feel like that episode had so much excitement from start to finish. And to like piggyback off like what Micah said, like that episode has just so many like vivid memories for me of like recording it, and like I remember the Pokemon Go stuff, and I remember the, like traveling to meet Xavier, and I remember like being in his house and recording, and then like playing Pokemon Go for the first time in Atlanta with my friend Alex. Like that was such a like that whole episode is just very reminiscent of that time for me. And then I think another episode that I really liked a lot was the Kickstarter episode that we did.
Shout out to Alex. Nasty Boys 2017.
Yeah, I think the Kickstarter episode was really good. I went into that episode really hoping that there would be debate and frustration. As weird as that sounds. And there was, and I think it was good and it panned out. I mean, like,
and we just argued for 4 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted. But this podcast would be really boring if all three of us agreed on everything together, right? So if we went into that Kickstarter, episode, all being like, okay, like sure, I guess, yeah, put me out on, why not? And instead we talked about that and that got heated at some points, and then I think that really translated well to the audience, and they responded in terms, And they were very upset about the list too, because when it comes down to it, everyone has their favorite Pokemon. So it was going to be impossible for us to not make a top 10 list without people feeling like they got shafted in some way.
Can you do that one week? Just have a one-off where the stipulation is that you all have to agree on everything that you're talking about?
I don't know if that'll pan out for being interesting.
It's hard for me to be able to think of any episode that was cooler to do than the PAX East panel we just did. I joked the week after about how nervous I was, and I certainly was, but being able to do our ridiculous jokes about, you know, like answering the question, the ridiculous questions about duck-sized horses and all that, and
such
in
a
front
good
of 400
question.
People. I don't know. It was really fun. It's cool to be able to hear that, you know, hear people laugh instantaneously as opposed to waiting like 2 days and then having someone say on Twitter that they liked my joke. So it was a lot of fun to do that, even though it's already been established that I didn't really like PAX itself.
It took me about a week to listen to that episode, and I finally last week listened to it, and the energy of the episode was so good. It
Thanks.
Was very like
live episode,
well paced.
Thanks. Yeah, live episodes don't really pan out well. I think it's like when people download it and they realize it's live. And I'm guilty of this too for some of the podcasts I listen to. It's just like, oh, I don't like the way this audio sounds. And so live episodes don't get as many downloads as normal episodes. But I am trying to come up with different solutions to make live episodes sound as normal as possible to real episodes.
What you could do is just craft a room that you bring in that's just windows, and everybody can watch you from the outside, but you're inside.
Oh,
a room
that's what
recording.
The PlayStation View is.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. You take it to live shows.
It's a PlayStation podcast that's only live, and you just watch them, and you can't hear them. You're just viewing them.
We get this question a lot. When will there be new Mythical content? All I'm gonna say this episode is watch our Twitter at Pokemon Podcast and. There might be something there that gives you an answer, and that will probably be every day until that answer is revealed. So it's pretty obvious if you follow us on Twitter, but I would stay tuned to watch that. And final question we'll do for the day, even though we have a bunch here, is from Carla from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Pokemon casters, thank you for providing such a quality show week after week. I figured out you and other listeners might have some good feedback to this simple question. What do you think is the best way to organize a living Pokedex? My national dex through Pokemon Bank is almost complete. I am only missing Diancie and Volcanion, but it's hard to figure out which Pokemon I still need, especially when PC boxes are so cramped. Pokemon Bank does not have that space issue, but it also doesn't have an easy way to search for specific Pokemon, making it harder to organize. I'm sure there's a simple solution, but it is annoying when I'm just trying to finally complete a living dex for almost 2 decades of playing the main game. Thanks for reading, especially if you read on the podcast. And I think everyone is great, but if I have to pick my favorite, it might be Irene. Thanks again, Carla.
I think by caller is the obvious answer.
I just recently did this, and I can give you some tips on how I... organized
national decks or living or...
I have started my national decks and I have a good chunk of it.
Okay.
What I did was I pulled up a list of all of the Pokemon by number in the national decks, and I grabbed my little journal and I wrote all of them, which took a really long time.
Sorry.
Why didn't you just print the list?
Because it's I don't roll that way. All right,
you're talking every Pokemon.
I did. And I line through them in my journal. I keep my journal and my DS with me wherever I'm going. Or I did when I was still actively doing this. And I would draw a line through them as I finished them. But in the Pokemon Bank, what I did was, the first thing I did was I labeled all of the boxes 0 to 30 and 31 to 60 and whatever. And then
so I think the point of confusion here is, Micah, when you say you're going to give a tip, usually you're supposed to be giving good ideas.
It's the best idea. It's the only way to do it. If you are printing out lists, you're cutting corners.
The name of boxes, the name of changing the boxes to the different numbers is actually a good idea.
Yeah, that's the easiest way that I
do it. Writing 700 Pokemon is not.
No, it's
just
really
print
not.
Print a list. Print
but
it.
I did it because I like doing it.
Control P on PC, Command That's P not, on Mac.
I don't feel accomplished when I do that, though. Listen, I got a journal for a reason, okay? I want that achievement in my journal. It's such a good feeling to just, like, with a
sit
thick
down
marker
and write over 800
just,
Pokemon names.
To just slide through a name with ease and just
right,
remove it
so
from the list.
Scratch everything Micah said.
Really, though, naming your boxes is the best way to do it.
Arrange Pokemon by color and call it a day.
Or that.
I agree.
Or these are all my blue Pokemon. These are all my
the garbage way out.
I think actually naming the boxes, the numbers, is a really smart way. I have, like, my boxes are such a mess in bank. I have a box of all, like, event Pokemon, which is already full. And now I need to make another box of event Pokemon. And then I have a box of Pokemon given to me for competition. So when I played Black and White competitively, I had a bunch of nice folks make me IV, EV perfect Pokemon. So I have them in a separate box. Of like, oh, these are competition ready really at any time, I guess. Unless the meta changes. But I didn't have meta Pokemon to begin with. And then I have a box of... And then I have like a box of a bunch of Eevees, and then I have a box of a bunch of Dittos, and then everything else is a mess after that.
So we were joking about organizing Pokemon by color, but have you heard of monochromatic tournaments?
Like where you only battle with green Pokemon?
Yeah, so there's all Pokemon are actually given a Pokedex, an official color in the Pokedex. Like I still have the Vulpix page open from when we were using that as an example earlier, and Vulpix is officially brown. And so sometimes people have made just little for fun tournaments where you can choose any color you want, but all of the Pokemon in it need to be officially labeled in the Pokedex as being the same color. And it leads to interesting things where, like, some colors are better, like some colors are better suited for different strategies than others just based on what Pokemon are purple or whatever. So
that
it's going to
really
be kind of
cool.
Fun. Yeah, we should do one of those.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
It sounds like you know, Magic the Gathering a little bit. You pick your color and
then you tap.
You tap your Pokemon.
Thanks for the email. Hopefully the box advice helps you a little bit.
Write your journal. Just write all the Pokemon down. It's
don't
a
do
good
that.
Exercise. it feels good. Trust me on this. It's like a meditative experience.
If you have any emails, questions, comments, concerns, you can send an email to sbj@pkmncast.com or just go over to pokemonpodcast.com and hit that contact button, and we'll read your email on air, whether it's Pokemon or non-Pokemon related. A lot of Pokemon questions this week, so thank you, everyone, who wrote
in. Or send that snail mail.
Or send the old snail mail if you want my P.O. box. It's on the Patreon page. Speaking of Patreon, before I pass it over to Travis for Pokemon of the Week, we're running a special right now. If you support us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/itssupereffective, you can, all new Patreons will get a free sticker and button pack snail mailed their way. So that's for any reward level. If you want to back us at $1, if you want to back us at $4 a month, you'll get access to our Slack community. You also get access to the Patreon posts that we do. And once April comes around, I will send out surveys for your address, your name, a couple other questions, and I'll send a bunch of Pokemon podcast stickers your way. So that's for anyone new signing up for Patreon in the month of March. If you signed up recently in like February or something, you'll still qualify for that. We originally did this back in like September, so we're just doing it again for spring. And yeah, just... gives you a little motivation to sign up if you haven't done so. And if you can't sign up, if you can't spare $1 a month to support us, that's fine. Don't worry about it. It's really not the end of the world. But thank you to everyone who does support us. Speaking of support, Travis, support us through our Pokemon of the Week.
Oh, man, I thought you were, like, actually going to do the... I was going to be really impressed by your transition because I thought you were going to be, like, support... Because our Pokemon of the Week is Honchkrow, and it can learn Tailwind, which is a support move.
Oh.
I thought you were, like, gonna know the things.
I forgot for a split second what our Pokemon of the Week was.
Gotta learn those expectations.
And actually, we get a submission for both Honchkrow and Murkrow, because as Brandon Weisner points out in the Pokemon of the Week Slack channel, neither of these Pokemon are really getting a lot of use, but Murkrow actually gets marginally more use than does Honchkrow, because Murkrow loses the Prankster ability when it evolves into Honchkrow, and Prankster is an incredibly powerful ability. So these two sets are going to be pretty wildly different from each other, because they're doing quite different things. So first we'll do the Honchkrow set, because that is officially the Pokemon of the Week. This comes to us from Kevin Soria. It's going to be an adamant nature with 252 EVs in attack and speed, 4 in HP with Life Orb and Moxie. The moves are Foul Play. It was very difficult to transition from R to Foul. Ugh. Anyway, the moves are Foul Play, Tailwind, Brave Bird, and Sucker Punch. Kevin also recommends, instead of Tailwind, you could also run Roost or Protect. Kevin says it's pretty basic. It's a pretty basic sweeper for the most part. You might consider using Fly MZ for the item so that you can get the Flying Z move. And then mentions that Tailwind, whether set up by the Honchkrow itself or by another Pokemon if you're not running Tailwind on it, would help Honchkrow a lot. The speed is the thing that's sort of lacking with Honchkrow. Has decent attack stat, so it can deal a lot of damage.
Put a quick claw on that.
Don't do that. it's a speed stat that's kind of hindering it. Before we move on to the Murkrow set, I want to throw something out there that's not necessarily good, but I thought it was fun when I was messing around with it. So Alolan Marowak is not as dominant as it was when the people were first messing around with the format. I think it's like, I'm not sure if it's even in the top 10 most used Pokemon right now, but there was a point where it definitely was, and it was everywhere, and I was just messing around with different Pokemon and had a sort of gimmicky, admittedly, team, and one of the holes that it had a hard time dealing with Alolan Marowak, and I wanted something that could just guarantee outspeed it and kill it in one hit, and strangely enough, the one I decided to try out was Honchkrow, with the ability Super Luck and a Scope Lens, because then if you use Super Luck, Scope Lens, and Night Slash, all three of those, so Night Slash has an increased priority, Scope Lens increases the likelihood of critical hits by one, or sorry, Night Slash has increased critical hit ratio, I said increased priority, it has increased critical hit ratio, Scope Lens increases the critical hit ratio of all your moves by one, and Super Luck increases the critical hit ratio of all your moves by one, so that means Night Slash ends up being a guaranteed critical hit, which ended up being a guaranteed one-hit KO on most of the EV spreads that people were using for Marowak. It's really gimmicky, but it was really fun, and it also has the side benefit of, you know, that having a critical hit is not just good because it gives you more damage, but it can also shoot through people who've like set up defense increases and stuff like that. I should reiterate, it wasn't good, but it's a funny thing that you can do, and then people on Pokemon Showdown get really angry at you because how did you get 3 critical hits in a row? Then you have to explain to them that you did this really inadvisable thing that makes it a 100% chance to do that. Anyway, our last set is going to be for Murkrow from Brandon Weisner. This is going to be Murkrow with Eviolite. Eviolite is an item that increases the defense and special defense of a Pokemon that has the capability to evolve, so Murkrow would count for this. The ability, as I mentioned before, is Prankster. That's an ability that causes moves that don't deal damage to have increased priority so that they are more likely to go first. Your EV spread is going to be 252 in HP, 148 in defense, and 108 in special defense with a careful nature. This is, as you can gather from the EV spread and the ability, this is more a support-oriented set, and the moves are going to be Tailwind, Foul Play, Quash, and Taunt. Taunt and Tailwind are in there because they're just incredible support moves. Taunt for shutting down other Pokemon that are dealing non-damaging moves, and then Tailwind to increase the speed of your team temporarily. Quash is a really interesting move that you might not know if you don't play a lot of doubles, and even then it's really only seen on these sort of marginally used, like, Murkrow sets. So Quash is a dark type move that makes it so that the target will move last this turn, ignoring all, like, priority. So as long as it hasn't acted already. So the reason Quash doesn't really see use generally is because if whatever is using a move is going to be faster than you anyway, then Quash has no effect. But because Murkrow has Prankster, you're going to go first with Quash, unless they use a move with increased priority as well, and you can force a Pokemon to move last, and then hopefully kill that Pokemon before it's even able to get that move off. So you can make a Pokemon that would normally be really fast and be able to KO one of your Pokemon, actually the slowest Pokemon in the round, and take it out before it's able to act. And that can be really cool. And then Foul Play is in there because sometimes you need your support Pokemon to deal damage, and Foul Play is a way to do that without having to invest any in attack, because Foul Play determines its damage by the target's attack stat instead of your own. I think that's it. Yeah, cool. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. Your shiny Honchkrow will be bright and pink.
It's a really good shiny.
It's a really good shiny instead of like the dark blue that it normally is. Some trivia here. Honchkrow's English name used to be a Japanese word, origin word. In its name, Honcho, delivered from Honcho. Hard to say that because it's like they're literally the same words. While the Japanese name uses the Western origin word in its name, Don is delivered from the Italian Don or Latin for Domus. Both are leader-like names and sometimes are used for leaders of shadier organizations. Honchkrow comes after Miss Magius in the Sinnoh Pokedex, but Honchkrow's pre-evolution Murkrow comes before Miss Magius's pre-evolution Misdreavus in the Johto Pokedex. There you go. Honchkrow is based on a crow or a raven. With its bulkier, more powerful appearance, Honchkrow looks much more like a raven than its pre-evolution does, but its coloration resembles that of a hooded crow. While Murkrow appears to be based on witches of Western folklore, Honchkrow's appearance is reminiscent of a crime boss, given a new interpretation to Murkrow as a gang member under Honchkrow. Its crest looks like a wide-brimmed fedora hat, an article of clothing often associated with mobsters or neckbeards. However, Honchkrow's tail...
Does it actually say that?
It doesn't. Honchkrow's tail does represent the Besom broom, which has been long connected with witchcraft, and its hat and beard-like feathers also give the impression of a sorcerer or wizard.
People that have listened to the Kickstarter episode know that I really love Honchkrow. It makes me really nostalgic for playing Pokemon with my brother and rolling with the Honch. It's so cool. Honchkrow is so cool.
The big boss Pokemon is Honchkrow's title.
It's so cool and good.
Big boss is really good. I think that wraps up our show for you guys today. We'll be recording a little bit earlier this week, just because I will have company over this upcoming weekend. So if there's if there's any Pokemon news or anything that drops, and you're wondering why the Sunday episode doesn't cover it, it's because we're probably going to be recording on like a Wednesday or Thursday night, just so I can have some free time this weekend for the company coming. Otherwise,
it's WrestleMania weekend.
WrestleMania weekend. What am I doing with my life?
Very exciting.
Is what's happening. Otherwise, if you're interested in Mythical or other stuff that may or may not be Mythical, please watch our Twitter all week and at Pokemon Podcast. That'll give you a little bit more insight of what's happening there. Patreon.com/itsupereffective. If you want to get your free buttons and sticker packs and you're not already a Patreon backer, please don't hesitate to support us. If you can't, no big deal. Leave us a review in iTunes. We haven't said that in a while, but iTunes is a thing. Leave us a review there. Otherwise, the Twitter is the best place to stay up to date with all of us. At Pokemon Podcast for the show. At Dragging a Lake for me. At The Travis W for Travis. And at Micah the Brave for Will. And Otherwise, I think that's it. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective. Weird. I'm not used to just everyone involved saying it the correct way. I guess it's good. Keep that dog clean in 2017.
Just gotta keep him clean.
Just wanted to give a big shout out to Wally. You can check him out over at drunkontacos.com. And if you want to be part of the shout outs at the end of the episode, you can jump over to patreon.com/itssupereffective and sign up for the producer tier. But again, a shout out to Wally. You can check out his stuff over at drunkontacos.com. Thank you everyone for your patronage and supporting It's Super Effective.